Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Wolves Wired Podcast, May 7th edition.
Yeah.
Programming note, it's been a week. Got a nice little week off in there. We're back to the daily podcast.
Starting
now, or at least me.
I'll be there for as many as you need me for.
You'll be around.
As the part-time co-host of Locked On Wolves, full-time co-host of Wolves Wired.
I do need you, Timmy. Any Wolves-centric news other than the deal with the Iowa Energy becoming official? It is Iowa Energy, right?
Yes, it's the Iowa Energy. Man, you have done your due diligence.
I at least wanted to get that much right.
There's nothing really too crazy going on right now.
Just the playoffs, which is...
Yeah, though, I mean, if we're talking Wolves-wise, no. Us at A Wolf Among Wolves are recapping each player's season
Did you do any new player recap?
I did a Tyus Jones one.
And give us the elevator pitch on that?
More or less, last year he was kind of still an unknown. He came into the league, specifically with the Wolves, with kind of a... I don't know how to phrase it, but basically there were some fans that kind of assumed that they traded for an extra first-rounder, or Flip did, rather, just to get that hometown boy, the nostalgic feel, maybe get a few more bucks, a few more butts in the seats.
Remember, he was the one draft pick that Woj screwed up. Woj tweeted that he was going to the Rockets.
That's
and then
right.
Had to retract, yeah.
So, Jones is so good that he messed up Woj.
He is the anomaly of the anomalies.
Yes. But...
By the way, I heard more traction that he will indeed go to ESPN eventually.
I've heard similar things.
Unbelievable.
Yes. It's
the Omaha Media Podcast.
They got rid of some incredible writers, and they got rid of Mark Stein just to get Woj, it feels like. Because he's going to demand some dough if he's leaving the vertical for this.
They do make the point to be made is you got to clear the decks for Woj, or else Woj looks like the bad guy if he comes in and then clears the decks. You know what I'm saying?
Anyway, yeah, that's true.
Continue with your Tyus Jones thing.
Oh, just, you know, he came into the league with some people assuming that he was just picked because he would put some more butts in the seats. He's the local guy, local hero to a certain degree. And his rookie year, he didn't do much, played 37 games, didn't play a lot. But this last year, I think he proved himself on both ends, really, as a reliable point guard to a certain degree. He can play. He's an NBA player, is basically and that's like an accomplishment for him. Proving that he is an NBA player is an accomplishment.
They doubted him, is what you're saying, and he's proven the doubters wrong.
Late first rounders are never guarantees, but I think he's proven himself.
All right. Well, you can check that piece out at awolfamongwolves.com, formerly of the True Hoop Network. True Hoop Network.
Former True Hoop blog, A Wolf Among Wolves.
Oh, dear.
Can I consider myself part of the layoffs, just to make myself feel more important?
Sure. Yes, you
should
may.
Should I tweet right now, no longer with ESPN?
Did people do that?
No one from the True Hoop Network did, I think, except for Henry Abbott, who should.
Oh, dear.
And he didn't even really. He just said, thank you. He didn't even say, I'm done at ESPN. He was just like, thanks. I love all of you.
Well, that's a confirmation. My eye really itches.
Well,
sorry.
Itch that eye. Or scratch that eye, really.
Rather. Any other Wolves news that we should know?
No.
What do you think of the playoffs?
I saw...
Not talking about the bar down the street. I'm talking about playoffs, the NBA playoffs.
The NBA playoffs. I think...
There's a game going on right now between the Cavs and the Raptors.
Yeah, I'm sad that... Well, yeah, and to be specific...
It's going to be a sweep.
I think. Kyle Lowry is not playing, if you didn't hear.
Oh, I did hear. Current score is 85-77.
I have a question about that, actually.
85-80, I'm sorry, with 2 seconds left in the third quarter.
You may or may not know the answer to this, but it seems like Twitter is just deciding that Kyle Lowry is playing his last game.
As a Raptor?
As a Raptor. Why is that? Why is it the assumption that he's done?
Because if you're the Raptors, do you want to throw him a boatload of money for a very average point guard?
You think he's very average?
I don't think he
does. I think he's arguably the third best player in that franchise's history. Or maybe even second if you put him above Bosch.
All right, pardon my French, but I don't think he does shit come playoff time.
Fair. Okay. That's a good point.
And he's up there in age. So if you give him a 5-year deal, he turns 33 at the end of that 5-year deal. What are you really paying for?
I mean, if he's in his 20s right now, I think that's okay.
What's the deepest position in the league?
Point guard, but how high on that list is he?
Fairly high, but is he how high above replacement level if you're, you know, talking about going out and getting somebody?
Here's my opinion, and it might not be a majority opinion. I think I've also read on Twitter, and I mean, it's Twitter, so take that with like several grains or even shakers of salt.
A cube of salt.
Take it with shakers of salt.
Throw the salt over your right
shoulder.
That Dwayne
Casey might be on his last legs with the Raptors as well.
He should be.
To what extent is this Lowry's fault and not the system in which he plays, where it's basically ISO Lowry or ISO DeRozan, which is almost like a poor man's former Durant Westbrook Thunder.
Well, not a lot of it is Lowry's fault, except for the fact that he doesn't perform come playoff time, which is
right,
his fault.
But it's his fault. But at the same time, I just feel like if it were me, A, I can hold on to Lowry, who is a very good point guard, one of the better point guards in the league. B, I think you can get value for DeRozan. And if you're getting rid of Casey, I think you can not necessarily build around Lowry, but build around whatever you get for DeRozan and just form a new system that might cater to more success from Lowry, more sustainable production.
I think you have to blow it up because how much better are you getting?
That's my point, though. I'm saying blow it up with DeRozan being the person departing, not Lowry.
I think you got to blow it up with everybody.
Okay.
Blow it up.
Fair enough.
So that's my opinion, but that's a good topic.
It is.
I know Kyle Lowry's done great, and he's been a great regular season point guard, but he's just never around come playoff time. Doesn't seem to be anyway.
Yeah, that was that's always been his thing. I don't know.
And if you're not going to beat the Cavs, what's the point?
Are they basically like, I feel like the Raptors are almost like the old Hawks. Like the Joe Johnson,
that's
Jeff
a good
Teague,
comparison, yeah.
Horford, Millsap, Hawks. And that's a bummer. Like they're clearly good. They're clearly going to make it into the playoffs and get out of the first round every year. But that's about as far as they're ever going to get. They're never going to beat that top team. They're never going to beat LeBron. Clearly never going to beat LeBron.
No, in fact, what's the average margin of victory the Cavs have over
Hawks? I think the exact number is lots.
Yeah, it's like 24-something points is the Cavs' average margin of victory over the Hawks or the Raptors in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, dear. Yeah.
I mean, if we want to talk locally, one local storyline that we have not touched on yet, the Minnesota Lynx have made their preseason debut, and they started by beating the Atlanta Dream 113-67.
That's a lot of points.
That is so many points. All at the new temporary home of the Lynx, the XL Energy Center, where something called a Wild plays sometimes. They don't play anymore because apparently they're not as wild as we thought. But, hey, Lynx are off to a good start.
Yeah, and they acquired Plenette Pearson during the offseason, which is...
I don't know who that is. Fill me in.
She played for Coach Reeve in Detroit. Okay. She's a veteran, can play solid defense. That is actually her specialty, solid defense. She's much like Rebecca Brunson in that regard. So... the Lynx, who will come back and try for vengeance and are most definitely a championship or bust team this year, will certainly use her abilities. But did you know, Timmy, Elena Deladon and Christy Tolliver went to the Washington Mystics?
I did see that.
That is huge.
The Deladon thing was, is it Deladon or Deladon?
Elena Deladon.
Deladon, okay. That was kind of a shocker, was it not? That she demanded a trade, if I recall.
It wasn't. It's the second superstar in
Chicago
as
right?
many seasons to demand a trade, because the first was Sylvia Fowles, who basically refused.
And that was nice.
That worked out for the Lynx well, did it not?
It sure did. If I recall, she was the finals MVP of their most recent championship. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right.
Tim, you're going to have
to keep my Lynx chops.
You're going to have to cover some games this year.
I'm going
to
cover once and then say I'm going to cover lots, get a tweet from Cheryl Reeves saying I should cover lots and then never cover them again.
Oh, she'll kill you.
She won't. She doesn't remember me.
In your sleep. Anywho, what do you think of the NBA playoffs?
Just in general? Saddened by...
What is your projected outcome of this Celtics-Wizards series?
I think the Celtics are going to win the series, as I said earlier.
I disagree.
Yeah. Oh, your dislike of the Celtics is well documented. I don't know. I think Boston is just better, and I think they've figured something out because they're just playing better lately.
Oh. What was the score of the most recent game, Tim?
Yeah, that got them their first win. The home court advantage still remains with Boston.
Okay.
The thing
116-89 was the score.
Hey.
I was keeping track at home.
I was going to make a really sad reference, but I'm not even going to. the thing that saddens me the most probably is how correct I was with Golden State and Utah. I said that they were going to win in 4 or 5, Golden State, and they're just demolishing the Jazz.
What did I say? 6?
I think you said 6, yeah.
Damn it.
It's okay. I was rooting for your call because I love the Jazz, but man, the Warriors, they're going to win it all probably, right? I guess Cleveland could do it still. They just look so sharp right now.
Well, I'm not going to say anything along that line.
Yeah, that's probably too premature.
But I know by the time most of you are listening to this, the Wizards and Celtics will be playing or that game will be over. And then another interesting series that we said, I said Rockets in 7. Spurs-Rockets. Spurs lead 2-1.
Yeah, man, and I definitely picked the Spurs at first. I think I said Spurs in 6 or 7.
We both sat here and talked about how the Spurs are a bad matchup for the Rockets.
Right, and then the Rockets came out and annihilated them in Game 1, and I even tweeted about how stupid I looked after that, but then the Spurs just turned it around like on a dime.
And now how do we look?
We look stupid for calling ourselves stupid to begin with, because we were right all along. We weren't. Maybe the Rockets are going to win Game 4 by 1,000.
I don't know. We should watch with beer.
Is that game tonight?
Yeah, it's 8. I think.
Oh, Jesus, man.
I think Celtics Wizards is more accommodating if we're going to do something like that.
Yeah. Well,
I'm falling asleep back here.
We can do that. Yeah.
It's been playoffs. Fun though.
It has been fun. It's been a good playoff.
Not the bar in Southeast Minneapolis. The NBA playoffs.
Good reference. A lot of bar references so far. I think that's our third bar reference in about 10 minutes. I should say, we're not going to start this yet, but I did throw out on Twitter, we're going to do Ask Me Anything.
We should start it now.
To 5 questions.
Yeah,
now.
Let's do it now.
Should we start with number 1?
Yeah.
The most ridiculous question we're going to get by far.
You're asking me and I'm asking you, or we're alternating.
Zach? Who are your top 5 Amys?
Oh, man.
I can give you one right away. Amy Poehler.
Who's that?
Parks and Rec. Star of Parks and Rec, SNL star. Parks and Rec is maybe my favorite comedy of all time. And she was heavily involved. She was a writer. She was the star of it.
She's
hilarious.
The bug-eyed, blue-eyed lady.
Blonde.
Blonde, yeah.
Yep. Real funny. Real funny. Probably my favorite Amy. Who do you got?
I got Amy Schlieder, but that's a personal reference because it's my mom's best friend.
Oh, okay.
So... I think If You Seek Amy by Britney Spears would be up there as one of my favorite.
Oh my God.
Britney Spears songs. Does that count?
Sure. I'm in. How about Amy Winehouse?
RIP to the great Amy Winehouse.
She was fantastic. Like her early music was.
You're the music guy.
That's awful. But the album, Back to Black was like. Genuinely really, really good. And it was really sad that I only discovered her after she died. Like, I knew the song Rehab, and to this day, I don't like that song.
Try to make him go
yeah,
to
no,
rehab,
no, no.
Said, dude, but, I'm looking at a rank of top Amys, and two of the top 15 Amys are defined as pornographic actors.
Oh. I'm looking at a list of famous people named Amy, and I'm seeing the same thing. Amy Reed is one of the ones you're referring to, I assume.
Talent.
And Amy Brooke. One Amy we have not mentioned is a Minnesota-raised, or not Minnesota-raised, but she went to school in Minnesota, and she's one of the most accomplished actresses performing today.
You have my attention.
Amy Adams.
Oh.
Amy Adams. She's from, or she was actually born in Italy, according to her Wikipedia, but it looks like she...
Oh, she was in Catch Me If You Can.
She was in Catch Me If You Can. She was in Talladega Nights. She was in the Muppets movie. She was in a ton of movies, man. She was in Junebug, which was a big movie. She was in Enchanted. Just a million things.
Drop Dead Gorgeous, which was filmed at Wyzetta West Middle School.
Oh, man.
Yeah, or at least some of it was.
I guess she performed in Minneapolis in the 90s.
All right, she's a top five, Amy.
Anyway, I'm just saying, she's got that local tie.
The local
is that,
angle.
Is that four Amys? Do we need a fifth Amy? Amy Schumer's fine. I really like that movie she wrote.
Which was what?
The one with LeBron James. What's it called?
Oh, I don't recall.
I think, what's her name? Amy, I'm forgetting her name. I'm not going to remember it. Goddamn.
All right.
All right,
Jimmy,
we named four Amys.
That's good enough.
That's a hard question.
That's good enough for a Wolves podcast.
Yeah, no kidding.
Would love to know thoughts on Lavina's six-man and plan for while he's out to you.
I like...
That's from the four-point play.
I'm in favor of Lavina as a six-man. I'm not in favor of it just outright. I want it to be a thing where if him in the starting lineup is not working when he comes back, I'm in favor of us trying it.
Okay.
I'm not, like, heavy on it. To be more specific, I'm heavily in favor of Levine and Jang both coming off the bench together, kind of being a tandem, because they play really well together, and I don't want to lose that with Levine coming off the bench. So if one goes, I think both should go.
Yeah, I sort of agree, but I disagree in that I think you can start Jang and have him come out early and play a lot of minutes with the bench. I don't think you necessarily need to bring him off the bench with Levine, but I see where you're going with that, and I smell what you're stepping in, and I will embrace the fragrance.
Tibbs kind of did it to a degree. He still started, but then he'd be the first guy to come out, like, early.
Uh-huh.
He would come out early, and then he'd play with the second team.
Bielitsa would come off.
He'd play with the second team almost every game before he got hurt. So it's not like it wasn't happening. Like, he was basically being played like a six-man starter, almost, if that makes sense.
Correct. Yeah. No, I'm for it. I think he'll be ready to go by the beginning of next season.
I hope so.
If you remember, Tom Schreier was on last week, and he said Levine was ahead of schedule, so if I'm not reading too far into that, I think he'll be ready to go by the end of next season, and I think the team needs to pick up a wing either in free agency or through the draft, and they'll definitely do that. It's one of their off-season checklist things. So that would be the plan for while he's out. Next question.
Okay, next question.
I have a question that you didn't get because it's just a reply to me.
Okay, then you can ask it.
Why does the team refuse?
Uh-huh.
To remove the solid green background from the Twitter avatar.
Say that again.
Why does the team, assuming the Minnesota Timberwolves,
yeah,
refuse to remove the solid green background from the Twitter avatar?
My assumption is that that's going to be a significant portion of what the rebrand looks like, and my fear is the main body of the uniforms might be that color. It's just a guess.
Oh dear.
But I got a feeling we're gonna see some heavy greens next year.
Heavy greens.
Yes.
Oh dear.
That is a just total shot in the dark guess, but the fact that the Wolves actual logo only has that little star, the North Star, in green, in that color green, tells me that either this is just like part of the rebrand and they want to make sure that this color green is part of it, and not left behind because it's going to be part of the color scheme, or, hey, this isn't on the logo, but, man, get ready for these unis because they're going to be green as hell.
What's the next question?
Next question. Did Patrick Patterson lower his value enough in these playoffs to actually accept whatever crap offer the Wolves throw his way?
Wow. I mean,
from Ben Schluss.
The answer is yes, because Patrick Patterson has shot like 24% or something.
He's been real bad.
He's been awful. And Dwayne Casey refuses to go small with him playing. Ben Schluss, friend of the program, guy who gave me a coupon on an oil change one time.
He's a nice man.
Yes, is my answer. What say you?
Yeah, I think so. I think you answered it exactly right. He's been bad. But, I mean, all coaches and GMs seem to say, no, we don't look at the small sample size. We look at the body of work.
Yeah, I look at playoff numbers, and that's why I'm not paying Kyle Lowry a bunch of money.
So we never know. You never know. He might still get a boatload of money. The Wolves might still pay him a lot. You never know. I know that the Wolves like him.
I don't think they'll throw him a bunch of money.
The Wolves like him.
You do. You know that for a fact.
I've heard.
Are you citing sources?
Yes.
All right, sweet. Timmy, any more questions?
Dude, this guy, Nick Haugen, has sent me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 questions in the last few minutes.
Let's hit him.
But I still have another one from the On the Prowl blog, local blog done by a Dan Slava, asks, which Lucky Charm marshmallow is the best?
The rainbow clover thing.
It's not even a discussion. Of course it's the rainbow clover. Stupid question, Dan.
There's no such thing as stupid question, but that is the correct answer. No, it's like the pot of gold with the rainbow.
No, it is. No, not a stupid question. You're right.
All right.
I'm just kidding, Dan.
Give me Nick Haugen's question.
Nick, the first one? Thoughts on Tibbs' defensive system? That's all it says.
Let's see how it does when he has more of his players in place.
How many players on the current roster? I'll follow up with a question. How many players on the current roster are not his players? And how many
I'm counting Wiggins, Towns, LaVine, Zhang, and Chris Dunn as his players.
His guys.
Yes.
Fair. Oh, my God. Oh, never mind. Okay. Question from Nick number two. Thoughts on how Tibbs' defensive system makes bigs look bad on defense?
This is not... It's the bigs who make bigs look bad on defense.
Yeah.
With poor rotations and lack of discipline.
Agreed.
Next question.
Thoughts on Wiggins' improvement this year?
You take this one.
I think he improved significantly handling the ball.
That is true.
I think that's something that's kind of been, that's kind of fallen by the wayside. We almost take it for granted to a degree.
Sure.
He's improved as a passer. His driving and kicking is good, I think, at this point. I think it's kind of underrated. People look at the assist numbers and assume he's not a good passer. I think he is a good passer.
His ability to handle in clutch situations is a nice skill.
Yes. I think Wiggins gets some heat for being the guy that takes the last shot because it's often a pull-up jumper, although it's a good look. I think people would prefer Towns get more of those looks in the paint. That's not his fault. So I think I just give him more of a break than most people do because I think a lot of the stuff is just what Tibbs wants him to do. And he's improved dramatically since his rookie year, and I like what I see from him. Defensively, he has a long way to go still. Sometimes he looks like the lockdown defender I think people thought he had the potential to show when he was coming out of Kansas. He's not there yet. But I do like him overall. I think he can be a multi-year all-star. I don't think he's like a Hall of Fame potential guy like Towns, but I think he could be an all-star. And, yeah, I think he's really good.
Next question.
Thoughts on this? It's a meme with Thibodeau with a funny, like, screaming, upset face. And it says, Wiggins, Cat got more rebounds in 1 year than you got in 3 years. Do your job. What are your thoughts on that?
I think Wiggins gets a lot of flack for the rebounding thing. And when you have guys like Gorgui Dieng and Karl-Anthony Towns and other people, he doesn't need to be a superstar rebounder.
Fair.
Plus, when you're guarding an opponent's best player, a guy who is taking a mass volume of shots on an opposing team, you're not going to be in the best position to get rebounds always, whether you're following to the basket or contesting a long jumper that he's taking. I mean, you're just not in position to get rebounds at that point. Do people not understand that?
No.
Okay.
No. People don't. Like, people truly don't understand that. When you are guarding a perimeter guy...
When you're guarding the guy with the ball, you're not in position to get rebounds because you're fucking guarding a guy.
Not to mention, in today's NBA, three-pointers are the precedent. That's what people are shooting now, more than ever. So 10 years ago when Wiggins was guarding the other team's best player, he might have been in the paint more because people were trying to get closer shots. Because, you know, in just general non-mathematical theory, the closest shot is the best shot probably, right?
Yes.
Now it's three-pointers. 3 points are worth more than two. Analytics show that you should take more threes and your team has a better chance of winning.
Oh.
That doesn't happen anymore. Wiggins is on the perimeter most of the time. And Gorgui Dieng and Karl Anthony Towns, by the way, are good rebounders.
Yes.
They led the league in offensive rebounds, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Because of those two, and they weren't a bad defensive rebounding team either.
I don't get it. I don't get it, people. Leave Wiggins alone about these rebounds.
Wiggins is good. Yes. Let's work on his defense and not worry about his damn rebounds or assists.
Any more questions?
He sent another one. Should we answer it?
Sure.
Thoughts on the offensive hierarchy of being number one Cat, two Rubio, three being LaVine and Wiggins.
Wrong. It's already wrong.
With Rubio finding the open guy for next year.
Two is not Rubio.
As in being the primary offensive initiator, not scorer.
That much is obvious. Of course he's the primary initiator.
He's the primary initiator regardless, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay. Last question. Not from Nick. My dad asked us a question.
Hey, Tim's dad.
My dad asks, he said, I'll read the whole text. I've been thinking about this. Is there any reasonable trade scenario that could have the Wolves giving up their first round pick and a player or two for Willie Cauley-Stein from the Kings and one of their two later first round picks?
No.
If yes, please let me know what it is.
I say no.
It's interesting. Only because we talked about...
I don't feel so good.
We talked about Tibbs wanting good defensive bigs. And
it would be a nice match.
It would fit. It's a good fit.
I think it's a good question.
And does he really want another rookie after what happened with Dunn this year and there are already a bazillion young guys?
It's a good question. And it's the type of player a la Nerlens Noel that you would like a little more?
I think I'd like... Yeah. It's basically that exactly. More or less. I think that's all of our questions, and we've already talked about the playoffs. We talked about the Lynx even.
We're wrapping this up, yeah.
I think we're wrapping it up. This is going to be a short podcast today.
For Tim Fakelis, at TimFakLis, my name is Zachary Bennett. This has been Locked On Wolves. Wired, tune in tomorrow for Locked On Timberwolves. So long.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.